Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind with us on the early line for a Wednesday hump day edition. And over the next 3 hours, we got you covered on all the hottest topics across the sports landscape, whether it's championships and Stanley Cups or the Larry O'Brien Trophy. If it's Major League Baseball you want, where guys are getting beamed left and right, we got you covered. Is it the WNBA that seemingly doesn't like Caitlin Clark, but a little bit of pushback, the Commissioner's Cup? Everything will be handled today on the early line. It's Donnie Wrightside and it's Joe Ranieri. Joe, feeling good last night? Were you celebration mode? What happened last night for you down on South Beach?
Not going to lie, I'm kind of shocked I'm actually sitting here right now, Donnie, but that is what you call a professional after being involved in watching a closeout game six for the, once again, Florida Panther champions. The cup remains where it belongs, in South Florida.
South Florida. Who would have thought the state of Florida is now the bastion for great hockey with the Tampa Bay franchise, the Florida franchise, which is actually Miami's franchise, and away they are winning cups. So why don't we start there in the 7-7, the hottest topics across the sports landscape? None hotter than the state of Florida and Stanley Cups, as I said. A 5-1 victory in game number six on home ice. The Florida Panthers are your Stanley Cup champions here for 2024-2025. A 5-1 victory, which saw four goals alone from Sam Reinhart last night. Imagine that for your career. You tell your kids one day, hey, Dad, did you ever win a Stanley Cup? Yeah. What'd you do in the cup? Game-clinching home ice, scored four times out of the five goals. My goodness, what a performance. And the question will always be is, Edmonton, you got to find a goalie. And if you don't have one, you can't win a cup. And neither, Joe, can Canada.
But Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, that worked out well. Congratulations there. Also, thank you all Boston Bruins fans for sticking a fork in Brad Marchand, thinking he couldn't play anymore. He just needed a real team in order to compete. But there is no better way to celebrate a closeout game than one that was never in doubt, Donnie. It was rocking chair after that first goal. And it was never even remotely close after that. So back-to-back, 3 years in a row, could we get the three-peat in a salary cap era there, Donnie? Almost all those guys are coming back.
Absolutely incredible to watch that play out. And Reinhart's first goal right there really set the tone. If you are the away team and you need a victory, your worst-case scenario is a great goal by the home squad here to get that team into it. Five unanswered goals to open that game here. Held on for a 5-1 lead. And also remember talking about, you know, Connor McDavid. Hey, man, minus 500 or higher to record a point last night. Tough scene for Edmonton. Tough scene for Canada. The Stanley Cup will reside once again in the United States. Now, other championships on the horizon. Could we get a six-game victory by OKC? We don't have a game tonight, Joe, but we have a game tomorrow. But the biggest news is Tyrese Halliburton, the injured calf, headed to an MRI. When I hear strained calf MRI, that means Halliburton should not be available for tomorrow night's game. And if he is, he's going to get abused once again on that court, Joe.
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, it's a serious injury, unfortunately, and it's just, it could not have happened at the worst time for Indiana. But if there's any team deep enough and built enough to be able to withstand losing a guy like Halliburton, who's not the leading scorer, I do think we talked about it yesterday with TJ McConnell being a guy that can step up. And I don't think they'll skip that much of a beat, to be completely honest with you. I think there's a lot of overreaction to this. I hope he plays, but if he doesn't, I still think they're okay.
Yeah, we'll see if he does play, because you're also talking about, like, regular season, he would not be playing. But the fact of the matter is, like, okay, I think I can go out there. I'm not nearly 100%, but I can't leave my guys out there. He might make one of those appearances, but it looks like it's going to be TJ time for Indiana when he scored. You know, he can give you 15 if he needs to out there. We'll see if that happens. How about let's flip it over to Major League Baseball. Rafael Devers, you saw the pictures yesterday from the San Francisco Giants social media accounts showing up at the stadium, the fireworks, the smoke, welcoming Rafi, and he says, whenever wherever. I'll play wherever you need me. But last night, Joe, two base knocks, RBI, wasn't good enough. They get beat 3-2 by the Guardians. But Devers says, I'll do whatever it takes, San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, saying all the right things, doing all the right things. Congratulations. I haven't seen him that happy, I don't think, ever. Have you seen that kind of smile, Donnie, on his face there? It just tells you everything you need to know about how bad it got in Boston there. He is putting on, I think he's going to put on quite the show there for the Giants. Should be fun to watch.
They need him, but they should have needed him a little bit more last night. Wasn't his fault again. 2-for-5 with an RBI last night. Did his part, just not enough offense on the side for the San Francisco Giants. We'll find out what Rafael Devers does down the line. And if you're talking about not enough offense, what happened to the Bronx Bombers as they were shut out once again at home against a pitcher in Kyle Hendricks, who's terrible? 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, no earned runs, 9 Ks. What was that? Cy Hendricks last night? The New York Yankees would stand back to the lineup and another 2 base hits. They don't score again. What?
Yeah, I believe now the 4th longest stretch of scoreless innings in franchise history here. So, yeah, not good, to say the least here. And now it's affecting everyone else up and down the lineup here. But listen, this team goes as Aaron Judge goes, right? And again, 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Oof. Not great here. So we'll see if they can turn it around. And if you can't turn it around against the Angels, Yankees, not good here.
Yep, still checking. I got to go back to the FanDuel Sportsbooks this morning, Joe. Like, we still minus 20,000 on the MVP for Aaron Judge, struggling right now over the past couple games. They need to get out of that funk right away. But maybe it's just something in the water in New York, because the New York Mets lost another game yesterday to the struggling Atlanta Braves. But here's the key issue. This game was 4-1. Victory here for the New York Mets in hand heading into the bottom of the 8th inning. 3 runs plated in the bottom of the 8th and a run in the bottom of the 10th gives the Braves a 5-4 victory over the New York Mets. An early home run by Juan Soto as he went 2-for-3 yesterday. Pete Alonso even went 2-for-4, getting close to his average of 300, but a slide, just like the Yankees. The Mets, that's 4 in a row now.
Yeah, not good. And plus, we learned what? They lost McGill yesterday on the IL, too. So, news not great coming from.
No, certainly news is not great coming there out of New York on either side of the New York Mets.
Donnie, that is my question.
Hey, that's live television, babe. We're getting after it. This is the lines get struggling here when we're talking about the New York Mets and the New York Yankees at this point. It's just what happens. But I got a bet. You want a hotter topic here for you, Joe Rainier, on a Wednesday? The Commissioner Cup final is set in the WNBA. I wish somebody let me know that the Commissioner Cup was going on here, but it's set, Joe. How about that?
Yeah, that's congratulations there. The WWE, you said WNBA. It's kind of hard to tell these days, but it looks like it's all squared away, including a massive brawl last night. So kudos. It's actually, the ratings are probably going to go through the roof, I think, here, Donnie.
How about don't bite the hand that feeds you, Joe? You ever heard that before? Like WNBA, you have an absolute superstar that's going to send your ratings skyrocketing, which means everybody in every aspect will make more money in that league. You're like, man, let's beat her up enough where maybe she can't play in the next couple games. Hey, it's just the WNBA. By the way, Noah Lyles and Tyreek Hill, they were building up a race that they were going to have. Where was the buildup? I had no idea what was going on, except for the announcement that their race for a 50-yard dash was canceled. Man, what are we going to do now, Joe? Jeez, nothing to watch.
Is he even still a Dolphin? I don't even know. And I live here and I can't tell you if he's still a Dolphin or not. But, sorry, the race didn't happen. For what reason, I have no idea.
No, exactly. Like, hey, man, boy, I was really looking forward to that. What an offseason. Hey, Tyreek, how about you just have a good offseason, stay healthy, get back to the Dolphins, win a couple games, make the playoffs, and that could be a winning race for you. But the Stanley Cup race, it's over. Panthers are champions. We'll talk about that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. Get used to that. They've now made 3 straight cup finals. Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. also what's going to be entailed for the future. Maybe more Stanley Cups. But the one thing we do know is last night, they were absolutely dominant over the Edmonton Oilers in a 5-1 victory on home ice in game number 6. And it wasn't too long ago, Joe, that we were talking about, boy, look at this. Slight favorite in the series as we open up for the Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers in game number 1 won in overtime. Canada back on top. Going to get control, first-time cup winner since 1993, but the Florida Panthers had other plans. An exciting series all the way through. A couple games got away from Edmonton, but it was clear, Joe. The Florida Panthers were the best team in hockey in this playoff run. Wave after wave, great goaltending play, key players stepping up at the right time. Like, I don't know, 4 goals in a Stanley Cup final clinching game number 6 for Sam Reinhardt last night. It just works. The organization from top to bottom has gotten it right. 3 straight Stanley Cup appearances, 2 straight cups here. South Florida. Florida was the laughing stock. Like, oh, eventually they'll probably move the team because hockey doesn't work in Florida. Look at Tampa. Look at Florida, Joe. It's amazing to watch this, but you were in the building last night. Tell us how it went down in that 5-1 victory over the Oilers.
You could not have asked for a better clinching game for the cup where, for the home fans, it was never in doubt. Donnie, it really wasn't. That first goal from Reinhardt as he's, falling down, steals the puck, gets there, falls down, hits it in the top corner there. And the place from that point on, the energy in the building was just over the top. And then it was never really about. You had, under 30 seconds to go in the first period. And then you got Tkachuk puts one in there. And it just, it was, you saw after the first goal. And by the way, we talked about it yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Over 1.5 goals, Florida Panthers to score the first goal. All those bets. It was like that the entire, through 6 games, Florida had always played with the lead. Edmonton, I think if I heard correctly, one of the few teams that actually the fewest minutes led in a Stanley Cup series in a long, long time. So they made them play catch up, and that is not how Edmonton rolls. And from that point on, it was just, where's Connor McDavid? Where is Leon Draisaitl? Well, the answer was nowhere to be found because the defense of Florida basically, once again, suffocated them in the 2 biggest games, games 5 and 6. They did it again last night, and that is why they are a repeat Stanley Cup champion, only the 3rd team to do it in the salary cap era.
Like, didn't everything creep back up here for the Oilers? Because the one thing where I've always rooted for them for the past couple of years, because they play such a fun brand of hockey. Like, you saw the Stanley Cup final, Joe. Every game, 6.5 as a total, not 5.5 with juice to the over, right? It was like, okay, let's see if we can actually get some goal scoring here. And the Panthers provided that all the way through. But it just feels like the Oilers went back to, we just have to outscore everybody. If we can't do that, we have no chance. And heading into game number 5, which I loved the Florida Panthers because you knew you had a goalie in Bobrovsky. You didn't even know who the goalie was going to be for Edmonton. And then they did the same thing in game number 6. Ooh, let's keep it under wraps till late in the day on who the starter's actually going to be. You knew that right away was going to be an issue. You can't win a Stanley Cup unless you get competency at goalie. You had it until you got to the Stanley Cup final, and it completely fell apart in the biggest moments, Joe.
If you have a goalie controversy, you don't have a goalie, especially at this point in the year. And, it was not a great spot for Skinner. It was a lose-lose the minute they went to Picard there at home in that game 5. And he did what he's done his entire, he's a career backup goalie that you put in to start in game 5 in your building. And you got annihilated. And then you throw Skinner back in on the road in a place, by the way, where he doesn't have
a... Yeah, always a tough environment there. Like, if you are not, having your P's and Q's there for a goalie, it's all about confidence as well. So many times you watch these hockey games and you just say to yourself, okay, like, we're lining up and the goalie's like, yeah, it's great if you have like 9 or 10 saves in the first 2 periods, you don't do much, but a lot of goalies, Joe, like to get that lather built up, right? Like, shoot the puck at me 15 times in the first period. I'll go 15 for 15 and then I'll wind up going 60 for 60 at this point. You knew it was a bad omen, and what an unbelievable goal to start that game, because it wasn't even a bad goalie. Like, okay, let me get my feels. Just a tremendous, tremendous play to score first here, and away the Panthers went, and you could never get that back. 2-0 at the end of the first period. You knew the party atmosphere was just setting up after the first period alone.
It was, and the energy never stopped. From that point in the building, it never stopped. And again, where was Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl? They were nowhere to be found. And a very top-heavy team versus a very, you know, depth matters in the playoffs. We talk about it in the NBA all the time. Guess what? Yep. It matters in the NHL, too. When you can put three or four lines out there that guys are getting 20 goals in the playoffs on each line, it's the depth is what got Edmonton. Outside of Draisaitl and McDavid, who stepped up for Edmonton in this series? That's why they're not champions.
Nobody stepped up, but you know who really stepped up for the Florida Panthers there? Sam Bennett, Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Joe. 15 goals, 22 points in 23 games, which included 5 goals and 6 points in the Stanley Cup Final. He wins the Conn Smythe Trophy, and away you go there in Florida, man. Legends are being made right now, Joe.
And deserves all bit of it. I think he set a record for most of those goals were all on the road. I mean, to go on the road, which is why the Panthers were 10-3 on the road in the postseason. It was all him. I mean, the guy was just absolutely unbelievable, well deserved. And I know there were a few folks here at this network that might have taken a stab at him as a Conn Smythe winner at a big number.
You take a look at those big numbers, Joe. You're right. Playoff odds, 170-1 before the Stanley Cup final here, 26-1. Those are incredible prices because you're just like, hey, you just take McDavid, you take Draisaitl, you take another superstar. The fact that if you had a ticket there, that's a little bit of money, Joe, with a massive return if you got the 170.
Huge return there. Not to mention that, you know, the Panthers after game one were plus money in the series.
Overall scene, that's big money you could have had there on Mr. Sam Bennett. Also, big money invested on the other side in Connor McDavid. The questions are coming up. Can he get it done on the biggest stage? We'll talk Connor McDavid next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Florida Panthers questions will come, and they're great questions to have. Can they win a third straight Stanley Cup? Unbelievable. Can they get to a fourth straight Stanley Cup final? Yeah, we'll answer those questions in time, but at least they can ponder holding a Stanley Cup above their heads, going like, yeah, back-to-back champions here, another Stanley Cup in the organization. When you take a look at the Edmonton Oilers, Joe, it's not the case. Those dynasties under Gretzky, which started the late 70s and rode through the 80s here, and even when he left, the Mark Messier team's able to still win Stanley Cups. It's been a long time for Edmonton and a long time for Canada winning a championship. But just like Wayne Gretzky, who won a few Stanley Cups for Canada, we're waiting on that for Connor McDavid. You know the frustration is high. Let's hear from Connor McDavid.
I lost to a really good team. Nobody quit. Nobody threw the towel in. They're a heck of a team. You know, they're Stanley Cup champions back to back for a reason.
What's the difference in the series?
I mean, obviously their forecheck was great. They tilted the rink. They were able to kind of stay on top of us all over the place. Never really able to generate any momentum up the ice. You know, we kept trying the same thing over and over again, just banging our heads against the wall. So credit to them. They played well.
Joe, superstars get high, you know, get basically the visualization of you're supposed to rise in the biggest moments and carry your team. Now, understandably for us, we thought Florida entering into the series was the better team over Edmonton, but there's no excuses now. You got to the Cup final last year, you lost in 7. You got to the Cup final this year and lost in 6. That's back-to-back years. If you are supposedly the face of the NHL, the best player they have to offer, it's hard to offer up excuses. He's not doing that. But sooner than later, you start to say, can he actually be able to eventually get this done?
Yes, and it's not certainly not his fault. I mean, outside of this last series, the guy, him and Draisaitl have carried Monsters. This team. I don't think the Hyman injury was talked enough or how big a impact that might have had on this team heading into the finals. He was a huge part of that big three there. But I think it ultimately comes down to with how you build a roster. And Evander Kane ain't going to get it done. You need depth in order to be able to make a run at this. And they just didn't have, they were very top heavy with this, the way they built this roster. And McDavid kind of hinted towards it too in some interviews last night where, what are we going to do? Their third and fourth line has guys that scored 20 goals in the playoffs. What are we supposed to do? The only two that Edmonton have are the top two, and there wasn't a whole lot in between.
Like, and again, like he can't play goalie. Like, it's got to be frustrating for him to say, yes, maybe we weren't up to par on offense in a couple of these games, but it's hard to be up to par on offense when every game you're starting from behind or maybe getting whitewashed because the goalie is giving up bad, you know, goals at this point. And now you're trading goalies back and forth to Picard, who's not good enough to be an NHL starter, and that's your Stanley Cup finals. Those are the tough pills to swallow because he probably would look at it, boy, if we could just, you know, only give up 2 to 3 goals a game, no matter what, we'd be fighting for it. But you're down a couple of those games, multiple goals, particularly in game number 6, and it wasn't even close from the beginning. You sense the frustration. Now, also understand this. Like, Connor McDavid is the face of Canada. He plays in Canada for Edmonton. He is a Canadian. He's the best player in the NHL, and he wanted to be the one to deliver that cup, and it looked like they were on the right path, Joe, after game number 1. It just didn't work. So for me, you look at Edmonton, it's not a failure to go to back-to-back Stanley Cups, but it feels like a failure because of all the momentum riding with the best player in the world, and you got game number 1 this year, when last year you lost the first 3 games. Things were supposed to change for Canada, and they just didn't. It's got to be heartbreaking for McDavid and that franchise thinking they were actually going to deliver that Stanley Cup for the first time since 1993 to Canada and certainly to Edmonton.
Not the first time we've seen this either, Donnie, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, people forget Michael Jordan just didn't jump into the league and all of a sudden was an NBA champ. He couldn't beat the Detroit Pistons the first 6 years of his time in the league. So, you know, there are some teams that are built to negate guys like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And the Panthers, the way they are built with their depth and goaltending, make guys like Connor McDavid very difficult. Now, the guy had an amazing season. He's had an amazing career. The one thing he's missing, and we can go down the list, Donnie, Dan Marino, go down the list of all the greatest players in every sport that don't have that championship. And unfortunately, McDavid is in that he's in that list right now.
Maybe he's got to leave Edmonton and just like LeBron James. Like, same thing with Jordan and LeBron. Look, I need a championship. I got to be surrounded with better talent. LeBron James left. We're not saying Edmonton would ever get rid of Connor McDavid, but Edmonton got rid of Wayne Gretzky in his prime, so there's something of a back record track that you can certainly look at. But it's time for some Major League Baseball. Rafael Devers makes his debut in San Francisco. Let's talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, yes, good times. These are the good times. Well, at least it was yesterday when Rafael Devers showed up. Oh, new place. I'm actually wanted in San Francisco. I'm making a couple $100 million. I don't want to play third base. I don't want to play first base. I don't want to be in the outfield. I don't want to be a DH. But once Rafael Devers shows up in San Francisco, guys, I'll play wherever you want me to play at. Well, yesterday, they played the side of the loser because they lost 3-2 to the Cleveland Guardians. But Rafael Devers in the lineup, 2-for-5 with an RBI double yesterday. Things looking good at the plate for him. They just didn't win that game. But let's talk about Devers' debut in San Francisco and the expectations. We talked when the trade went down. What? Are you kidding me? How did this come out of nowhere on a Sunday night? We had Craig Mischer on yesterday to explain how those circumstances can actually happen. But now we see Devers in San Francisco. Love the move. Buster Posey changing the landscape where now players might want to come to San Francisco and take their money. Rafael Devers in San Francisco willing to do, Joe, whatever it takes.
Hey, listen, and then you'd expect nothing more, right? This is his home now for the foreseeable future. And yeah, you got to make the most of it. It's a fresh start for Devers. And it didn't look great his first at bat. I believe he struck out against Ciccone, but then he came back. He had the double, had the RBI. Listen, I think it's going to be interesting to see what that ballpark does for his power numbers over the season. But the reality is that's a bat that the Giants definitely needed if they're going to go ahead and compete with the Dodgers for that Western crown.
Yep, pitching has to hold up. And also, if you get 10 base hits, you got to score more than two runs here. They should have won that game. They didn't win that game. But at least Devers gets that nervousness out of his system. New team, make some friends on the team, get used to the crowd here. And you're right. You always want to provide that electric, you know, lightning bolt. Your first at bat here comes up with a runner on base, ends up striking out, but makes up for it later in that game. And also, by the way, almost a comeback in the ninth inning, which Devers actually had a base hit with two outs to get multiple runners on base. One more base hit, and the Giants could have pulled away with a victory, but Class A ends up coming in and shutting the door there for the Cleveland Guardians. If we keep it in that same division, same state, and just head a little bit south, the San Diego Padres and the Los Angeles Dodgers played again. The Dodgers starting to heat back up, but also, this is a rivalry that got heated last night based off the previous night where players were getting beaned. Last night, they took it to the next level, and the interesting part overall about this game is Ohtani gets hit by a pitch. Roberts is furious. He gets tossed. Tatis gets hit last night. We had it all. Like, this is turning into a fantastic rivalry in the NL West.
Certainly, it certainly is. And I think it's only going to get better as time goes on here. And I can't wait for when these games actually mean a ton, when we get to September, Donnie, when it's, you know, could very well be, who do you believe has a better chance of catching him? Padres or the Giants? The Dodgers going to have to fend off a few teams here down the stretch, but make no mistake about it, I don't think any of these teams like one another. I think that's great.
Yeah, full bullpen game once again for the Dodgers last night where Dreyer went two innings, Trevino went two innings, Sauer went two innings, Kopech then come in, Banda and Scott to sort of shut the door late. Randy Vasquez was on the mound, five innings, pitched three earned runs. He's the guy that hit Shohei Ohtani, which started to set a few things off. But we talked about it yesterday. Good weather out there in Los Angeles, good hitting weather with not great pitchers on the mound. 14 total runs easily goes over that total and a lot of chances too. Runners in scoring position, 3 of 10 for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Runners in scoring position for the San Diego Padres, also 3 of 10. We'll see if that series certainly starts to get some life, but also the Los Angeles Dodgers now starting to extend their lead, Joe, in the NL West. If we look at the fresh updated standings, 45 wins for the Los Angeles Dodgers, 41 for the Giants, and 39 for the Padres. They were down to a game advantage there in the West, now back up to 3.5 games and five game lead over the Padres, 8 over the Diamondbacks, and 28.5 over those Colorado Rockies. But if you see in the win column there, the Dodgers have won 4 in a row. The Giants have lost 3 in a row. The Padres have lost 2 in a row. The Diamondbacks have lost 2 in a row. And then there's the Rockies actually have won 3 in a row, which is kind of crazy to talk about. But it seems to me like it still is a Dodgers division. But these teams will be putting heat on the Dodgers from time to time like they were doing. But we know the cream eventually rises to the top, and that's what the Dodgers are doing right now, extending that lead in the NL West.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be ebbs and flows as the season progresses here, Donnie. Dodgers will hit a wall at some point, and the Giants are going to, and these teams, listen, Dodgers are heads and tails above the rest of those teams. We know that from a talent perspective. But you still, you know, injuries come into play, and you still have to go out there and perform. And right now, the Dodgers are creating some separation, which is what a lot of people thought was going to happen maybe a little bit earlier in the season, but it does seem to be taking place now.
Ohtani back on the mound. We'll see if they extend him over the next couple weeks here to sort of stretch him out to be a starting pitcher that can go 5 and 6 innings like he was doing on the other side of Los Angeles with the Angels here. Let's get over to the National League once again and take a look at the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. We previewed this series start yesterday, Joe, saying, boy, oh boy, like if there's a time to get back into the fight, the Atlanta Braves must come away with victories against the New York Mets. And the Mets fresh off of getting swept when they were riding high as one of the best teams in Major League Baseball. The game that's yesterday at 5-4, and you would say, hey, great win for the Braves, but come on, Mets. You look at the break that streak, you're up 4-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning and let that game slip away in a 5-4 loss. The Mets can afford losses. The Braves can't do that. That was a big-time win yesterday for the Atlanta Braves, showing some might, showing some muscle late in that game for a comeback victory, a massive one for the Braves yesterday, Joe.
Yeah, and I think we had a little delay in that game. That game started late, if I recall, and we had said there might be some issues there with the rain. You and I both talked about we were a little bit worried about betting an over in this spot, although Truist Park, you know, as the summer months come on, is a over machine. But neither of these offenses had been great here over the last couple of weeks. And they had a 4-1 lead, the Mets, in order, and they coughed that up, man, as that game went on. And unfortunately, the Braves, this was a huge, and we said it yesterday, much bigger game for Atlanta than it would be for the Mets at this point. The Atlanta Braves needed that win in that way, by the way.
Yeah, not a lot of opportunities either. Runners in scoring position, one of six for the New York Mets. But still, as we talked about, they had that 4-1 lead in this game before dropping that in 10 innings. You take a look at the Atlanta Braves. They were 3 of 11 with runners in scoring position. Schwellenbach came in as one of the better pitchers on the card yesterday. He goes 7 innings and 4 earned runs, but you touched him up early for the Mets. Thought you might be able to chase him. He holds on, throws 97 pitches in that game. Peterson on the other side gave you pretty good performance on the road. 7 innings pitched and 3 earned runs overall, lowering his ERA to 2.60 on the season. We'll see if it bounces back, because when you take a look at the NL standings, for me, Joe, it's like, all right, let's see what the Mets do. The Phillies lost yesterday, which we'll talk about them in a few moments here, but the Braves' victory, like, yeah, it's a win, but they're still 12 games back of the New York Mets in first place. But as I say, you can't make up that distance by winning one game or one inning at this point. It's going to take a long time, but it's good for them to start with a victory to sort of get back on the right side. But the question is now, what are the Mets doing, Joe? 4 straight losses. They can't turn this into 5 or 6. And by the way, Chris Sale's going to be on the mound today for the Atlanta Braves. Could this turn into 5 in a row? And oh no, Mets.
Yeah, well, listen, they were shaky on as a road team to begin with this year. They were much better at home. And, you know, the road weary Mets continue to lose games in epic fashion. So at some point, they're going to have to correct that. You can't just be a home-winning team. You have to be able to win big games on the road. And they just haven't done that, Donnie, at all.
How about we talk about streaks, too? It's like, oh, no, the Mets have lost 4 games in a row. It could be 5. How about those Washington Nationals? Like, it does. Yeah. Like, they're playing bad baseball teams and still getting smoked left and right. I had a team total with them yesterday, which, again, they provided those results I needed in the 9th inning. But what are the Nationals doing getting smoked on a day-to-day basis here? Lost 10 games in a row, 30 and 43. I like that. I guess I don't like that pitching staff. Goodness.
Yeah, what was that total last night? What did we have for that total in that game? And we laughed at it a little bit, given what we know about the Nats bats. But my goodness, 16 runs. Ooh, they are in trouble. The Nats.
Absolute smoke show. Yes, the Nats are in trouble. And also, we talk about the New York Mets. Can they rebound? We're going to talk about the other side of New York City, which is the Boogie Down Bronx, and a team that was knocking the cover off the baseball, now can't find the baseball here. What's up with the Yankees? Talk about that next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get a refund. The Bronx Bombers out here cruising during the regular season, easily going to win the AL East. My goodness, this offense is only going to get better when Giancarlo Stanton comes back. And Giancarlo Stanton did come back, and he's got multiple hits, but that's not serving up any runs for those New York Yankees. Joe, we talked about it yesterday. Let's rehash. Last game against the Royals that they won, 1-0. Then they lost to the Red Sox 2-1. Then they lost to the Red Sox 4-3. That was an explosion of 3 runs. Then they got shut out by the Red Sox. Then they got shut out by the Angels. Then they got shut out by the Angels again. And Joe, we're not talking about, let's just say, Cy Young himself. Hey, what do you want us to do? We face 8 straight Cy Young award-winning pitchers. We can't get any base hits. Or Tarek Skubal pitched 7 straight games against us here. That's not the case. Kyle Hendricks was on the mound yesterday for the Angels. The final score, 4 for the Angels, none for the Yankees. I don't get it. Make sense of it to me, Joe.
Well, yeah, not to mention the bullpen of the Angels came in and went, just about 3 perfect innings last night, and they didn't give up a hit and only 1 walk. But, yeah, listen, it's no shock that Aaron Judge is what makes this team go, right? You go 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, and I believe, over his last 5 games, he's now 2 for his last 19, 1 home run, 2 walks, and 12 strikeouts. Yeah, interesting thing about hitting, Donnie, in baseball is it is contagious. When you hit, everybody hits. When you don't hit, nobody hits.
Exactly. And Aaron Judge is always the guy that's hitting. He even said the other day, like, you know what? maybe I'm pressing a little bit because you start to get that Barry Bonds treatment where, you know, heading into the game, they don't want to pitch to me, but you still want to hit home runs. You want to drive batters in. You want to get base knocks out there. So you swing at balls that are out of the strike zone. Well, yesterday, 0 for 4, another three strikeouts. And even though he is struggling, he's still hitting 372. But all those odds that we were talking about, the fun markets here with Aaron Judge and the FanDuel Sportsbook, will he hit 400? Will he hit 406? Is he going to hit 380? You are going to go through those ebbs and flows. He was so hot to start the season that you can afford a couple down weeks here and still have a crazy batting average, let's just say, at 360 or above. But something has to change. And the interesting part, too, is, Joe, like, we talked to Stanton coming back. Oh, he might struggle for a little bit. He's been really good in that lineup. He should be a boost here. This was a lineup that was crushing the baseball. Also understand this. Like, you didn't play, again, 10 straight games in San Francisco with the wind blowing in, let's say. You're in Yankee Stadium. You're in warmer temperatures. This is where you're comfortable hitting. And a team that's hit the baseball all season long, it's one thing to say, all right, we're struggling at the plate, but we're 3-2 in our last five. They're 0-5 in their last five games and scored four total runs in five games. That's embarrassing right now. And you know as well as I do, Joe, in any sport, when things start to get like this, what happens? You continue to press and press and press. And the worst case scenario, again, is you faced Hendricks yesterday. Kochanowicz will be on the mound today. Hittable pitchers here, and they're still not getting the job done.
Yeah, just got to keep pressing. 162-game season, a lot of baseball still to be played. The interesting part about that, those figures there, is that while they've only scored four runs in their last five games, Donnie, the pitching has only given up 13 runs in those games. So it's not like the pitching is burying the Yankees right now. They've done their job, but the problem is if you don't score, you don't give yourself a chance to win even a close game in any way, shape, or form. So the good news for the Yankees is, if there is any, is that the pitching seems to be leveling here and keeping them in ball games. It will turn at some point.
It will turn at some point. And also, you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, just bringing up the MVP odds. Oh, no! Judge is striking out every plate appearance. Last week, he was minus 20,000. Today, this morning, Joe, he's still minus 20,000 here with the big dumper Cal Raleigh behind him at a 40-1 price. So no panic in the streets from the FanDuel Sportsbook on Aaron Judge winning an MVP. And certainly, it's a long season. Like in the NFL, if you lose six straight games, hey, man, you're not making the playoffs, your team stinks. You lose, let's just say, five or six games in a Major League Baseball season, you say, ah, it happens. It's the ebbs and flows of a long season. But if we do take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook on winning the pennant in the AL, yeah, it's still the Yankees at a plus 210 price here as the favorites, followed by the Tigers, the Astros, the Rays, and the Mariners. We understand, Joe, how long this season is. Is there any doubt or a little bit of panic for you and the Yankees saying, well, they better get this right or stop it. Let's check back in 2 weeks to see if they've lost 15 games in a row. Then I'll panic.
Not in June. August was a different story. I think in June, let's just everyone take a breath. And quite honestly, I hope it goes a few more games. Maybe we can get a better number at the Yankees in a week or so if they keep this up. But long term, yeah, no. We know what this team is. We know how they're built. They will be just fine. And again, the pitching is there for the Yankees, which was our biggest concern to begin with heading into the season.
Certainly was. And by the way, you're right about that too, because, you know, smart minds think alike. It's like, ooh, I like the Yankees all season. That price isn't where I want it. Wouldn't it be great if they lost 10 in a row and maybe I can get a better price where it's plus 210, it goes to plus 310 or plus 410, and then you can jump on? Because the one thing we understand about this, as Joe says, it's June. You still have all the rest of June, July, August, and September. Talk to me when the Yankees are winning 70 games in a row in September and knocking the cover off the baseball. That's when you get excited here. Or if they're 0-7 down the stretch in September and can't hit the baseball, that's when you start to worry. The ebbs and flows of the Major League Baseball season, you want to be hot at the right time. So if you go through that cold spell before the All-Star break, get it out of the way, revamp it up, and retool at this point. Also, sometimes, Joe, I do like this. Like, if you said to myself, like, the Phillies, who had that struggle, as they got beat last night, which is one thing. But it sends a different signal to the front office. Like, wouldn't you rather have your struggles before the All-Star break and the trade deadline where the team goes, we better make some moves here and some decisions, as opposed to, oh, no, we didn't make any moves at the deadline. We thought we were fine. Now we lost a starting pitcher. We lost a bullpen guy. Our two best hitters in the lineup aren't hitting right now. It would have been really nice to retool. So I'm with you, Joe. The Yankees can rebound, and maybe it's a good time to have a struggle.
It certainly is. And keep in mind, too, the Yankees have the bank account to go out and spend money before the trade deadline if they have to. So that's another issue to keep in mind. So the Yankees, I think, will be fine. The question is, can we get them at a better number over the next, let's say, 2 to 3 weeks?
Exactly. And maybe like this really ups the ante, like, hey, maybe you have to wait 2 or 3 years for Paul Skeens. Maybe if the Yankees struggle, they get Paul Skeens at the trade deadline this year. Really ramp up the pace at this point here. We got other hot topics to get to in Major League Baseball, which is going to include, hey, watch how you talk to your superiors or you might get sat down. You got Nick Castellanos on one side, Ben Stevens on the other, suspensions across the board. Find out next. What did he say, Joe? I don't know.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes you got to liven things up in Major League Baseball. Now, usually, Joe, you want to liven things up when you're in the batter's box, when you're in the outfield, when you're making plays out there, being a catalyst for your team and getting the good vibes going. Well, the Philadelphia Phillies, who were in a real June swoon a couple weeks ago, broke out of that with a win streak, picked up another win against the Marlins the night before, and the vibes were high. But after the game last night, some words were exchanged, or 2 nights ago, I should say, between Nick Castellanos and manager Rob Thompson, which then led to the very next day, the starting lineups come out, and Nick Castellanos isn't in the starting lineup. And you might think like, yeah, well, baseball players get days off all the time. Nick Castellanos had an Iron Man streak that was going. But due to the words that he said to his manager, the manager's like, all right, cross the line. You are not playing tomorrow or today in this baseball game. Nick Castellanos sat out last night. The Phillies lost that game. Castellanos goes, well, I said some things, and he's the manager. It's his decision. Castellanos is a little bit of an oddball character when you see him in post-game interviews and the media asking him the question like, hey, what type of pitch did you see? And you hit it hard. He's like, why would you ask me that question? Like, I'm a baseball player. That's the type of guy he is. I wonder if he took this in stride or now he's angry, and maybe that's a fracture in the locker room. How about that? What were your thoughts on Castellanos getting the bench yesterday? You can't talk back to your superiors, Joe. You can't do it.
I just want to know what was said, really, more than anything else. I'm just curious. But, you know, for him to – it's one thing if you want to pull him out for a defensive substitution, which I think is what he did in that game, and that's what started this craziness here. He had something to say about that. But, my goodness, I mean, a guy that almost never misses games, your punishment is to make sure he misses a game and you get smoked. All right, win-win, I lose-lose, Donnie. I don't know. What are Phillies fans? I can't imagine them being ecstatic with that move last night.
No, well, the good thing about Philly Sports Talk Radio is, like, they can't talk anything nationally, so they were going the statements in Philadelphia were, who's your top 10, like, professional athletes in Philadelphia? So at least it gave them something to talk about yesterday with Castellanos bust in, and now he's got to be traded. He hates it here, and away you go at this point. So we'll find out. But, Joe, look, we are a family-friendly show, but we are on SiriusXM. There's some options here on what Castellanos said, so I'll let you take the mic. Give me a couple lines exactly, not bleeped out, of what you think Castellanos said. The floor is yours.
I think it was just very something as simple as, I don't agree with this. And Thompson took it the wrong way. And next thing you know, I'm sitting out. My Iron Man streak is broke, and I don't know where I went wrong. So I think it was something, just a misunderstanding, so to speak, there, Donnie. I don't think they understood it. Yeah.
Exactly. Back on there. Maybe, you know what? If we dig deeper into this, Joe, could it have just been like Castellanos had two, like, you know, blue line tickets yesterday, three rows up from the ice, and was like, I got to get to that game tomorrow. And Tom's like, you're going to play tomorrow night. Words exchanged. He wanted to go see the Stanley Cup final. And maybe it was just something like that. Something simple.
Yeah, something simple like, listen, I don't appreciate this and taking me out of the game. And maybe I might have thought of, maybe it looks funny in his uniform and he said something about it. You never know, Donnie. Very sensitive people in a baseball dugout. You know that.
And by the way, maybe you can blame it on being in Miami, because, like, man, if I had at least like 10,000 people here, manager probably wouldn't have heard me cursing him out here. But now nobody's in this place. Everybody can hear everything. got to shut the man down for a game, and that's what happened. But you know, not one gets shut down yesterday for the Blue Jays. How about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Three RBIs and a bomb in a comeback victory where the Jays walk off the D-backs 5-4. Excitement.
Yeah, well, we know Toronto was a good opportunity with Bassett on the mound at home to be able to get the bats going again. They've struggled a little bit here, but good win for them over Arizona.
How about the big dumper yesterday? If you don't know who he is, that's Cal Raleigh. Six RBI, which included a grand slam home run and a blowout. Love to see the Mariners get an 8-spot, 8-0 over the Boston Red Sox yesterday. Big dumper style.
Yeah, well, it's good to see the bats finally coming through for Seattle, because how they lost the game prior to that 2-0, I'm still scratching my head against Giolito. But good win for Seattle, back on track.
You want to have, you scratch your head here, who's one of the hottest teams in baseball, at least at the plate as well? It's the Colorado Rockies. Seven bombs on the road as they smash the Nationals, but everybody now smashes the Nationals.
Well, it's kind of.
This is kind of wild. I mean, Joe, speechless at this point with Colorado dropping 10 talent, runs.
But if you're capable of building a game, they should be able to do this a little more often here, Donnie, and put some wins together, shouldn't they?
I love it, man. Look, I needed a couple more runs out of Washington. The fact that they were getting smoked helped me out. Hour number one is down. Hour number two is next. The fun is just beginning, baby. Come on back here for the break.